Verified identity. Access granted. Welcome to the Conspiracy Bunker.
Welcome into the Conspiracy Bunker, America's truth for true Americans. It's the middle of summer, but why has it been so unusually cold? Because the United States government is controlling our weather under the facade of fracking. I'll present to you the evidence to prove it. Michelle Obama, she's letting kids grow obese and saying she's helping them slim down. Her Move It campaign has a secret goal to drive apart families to boost internal revenue. I'll prove that to you as well. And to wrap up the show, I'll present the conclusion to my origin story. Part one of my origin story is on episode one, and if you haven't heard it, I suggest you listen before moving forward on this one. Are you ready to stop being a citizen and become vigilant? Then turn up the volumes, open your minds, and load your gun for the Conspiracy Bunker. Get you back to the program in just a moment, but first I want to tell you about a great new product that's taken the world by storm. I'm talking about cougar urine. Yeah, cougar urine. Yeah, cougar urine.
Me, yeah.
It's the best way to protect yourself when you're out in the wilderness or when the world goes to hell in a handbasket. That's right, when the entire world collapses and society is forced to move back into the wilderness, you'll want this cougar urine to keep away all sorts of predators. Humans, even unknowingly, avoid the scent of cougar urine. So head on over to rkellycougar.com and start checking out jars. Cougar urine is the perfect thing whether you want to survive the collapse of society or you want to be an animal in your day-to-day life. Get cougar urine. And get pissed. Back on the Conspiracy Bunker, want to talk to you about something known as fracking. Fracking? Sounds like a action you do in your bedroom and you don't want your parents to find out. But the real fracking is not pleasurable at all. Doesn't involve secret dirty magazines, but maybe some secret dirty documents. Because fracking is not what you think it is, which I'll explain in just a minute, but it's actually a weather control device controlled by the United States government. First, let's go through what the United States government wants you to think fracking is. Fracking is a way of extracting natural gas from shale deep below the Earth's surface. So what they say that they do is pump lots of water and other nasty chemicals into the Earth. It fractures the rock, and that releases gas, natural gas. Have you ever tried to catch a lightning bug? That was pretty easy, right? Because a lightning bug isn't made of gas. How do you just capture gas after it's been released? Who's ever caught a fart? Furthermore, the government tries to convince us that this is our future, and this is the way that it should be done. Here's none other than Barack Obama.
The development of natural gas will create jobs and power trucks and factories that are cleaner and cheaper, proving that we don't have to choose between our environment and our economy.
Of course, we don't have to choose, because when you eliminate one of the two options, the environment, then you don't have to choose, because there is no choice. You don't have a choice when there's only one option. Boy, do I know that every time I eat at my mother's house. That sounded really sad. So, the economy is the only option that we have. The reason we have the economy is because the United States is going to be able to control whatever country they want. Because, listen to this, people. Fracking is not an operation to collect natural gas. Fracking is a weather control device, a doomsday device. Now listen to this. most of the fracking operations, you can look this up, it's in any publication, even the sheeple publications that most people read on a day-to-day basis, that fracking operations are inside of national parks. That's right. Fracking being quote-unquote contracted to be done inside U.S. national parks, government property. No houses or any development for miles and miles. That's right, you want the isolation when you're testing a doomsday device, just like you wanted to test out a nuclear bomb on a coral reef in the middle of the Pacific Ocean or out in the middle of the desert where no one's around. So, you have the fracking, weather control devices. They were making more and more progress. 2013 comes along, and they're just about ready to try it out. So they do one final test. They need to get it done, but there's too many people in the national parks. They need to get people as far away as possible from the national parks where they're going to test out the weather doomsday device. How do they do that? Well, let's scratch our heads about it a little bit. Do you think Congress was just sitting around tickling their funny bits? No, it was a strategic plan to shut down the government and to start moving people away from their doomsday device. Here's a clip from October 2013.
It's October 1st, 2013, and we are 12 hours into the federal government's shutdown. As agencies move to shutter services and furlough employees, among them are workers of the National Park Service. Now, overnight visitors camping in the nation's outdoor treasures, they will be given a tight deadline to leave. How will the exodus unfold? Join us right now is Dick Ring. He works with...
Yes, the name of that man about to be interviewed was Dick Ring. And times were hard on Dick Ring. Dick Ring was in deep because his employees of the National Park Service and everybody visiting the National Park Service now had to vacate the premises, get out of the national parks where the fracking devices are, by a set date, by a set time. Sounds a lot like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Aliens coming to Earth. Then they kick everybody out of Devil's Tower in Wyoming, only this time it's nationwide. Everywhere there's fracking, now everybody's out. Congress let the shutdown happen, not because of politics, but because they wanted to finish testing out the weather device so that they could bring it to war, which they do. They spend October testing it. That's why in October, it was one of the hottest Octobers ever since they've been recording temperatures in October. There's also more earthquakes in October than ever during the month of October. So we know that fracking devices are underway because there's lots of earthquakes, and we know, because of this next clip, that NASA developed the technology to create rain years ago.
No one stayed, and NASA ended up with exactly what it wanted. 125,000 acres of nothing.
This is the loudest sound you could possibly conceive. And, as it turns out, the cleanest.
I told you! It's raining! That's unbelievable! Oh, NASA's playing God! It's making its own weather!
The doomsday device was underway. It was right under our noses, and we didn't notice till it was too late. And they attacked. They tested out the functional weather control device on U.S. citizens.
Grim morning at the site of a giant mudslide north of Seattle. The local fire chief says searchers are hearing no signs of life.
A wall of mud swept through Oso, Washington on Saturday. This is what the area looked like before the slide. After the slide, you can see an entire hillside is gone, piled up on the village below.
So now the government knows for a fact that their weather control device works. Time to test it out on the enemy, in enemy territory. Let's take it to Afghanistan.
Next to the horrendous story of a mudslide in Afghanistan that has buried most of a village in the northeastern part of the country. Hundreds are known to be dead, with many more missing and feared dead.
No wonder President Barack Obama was all about withdrawing troops from Afghanistan. You don't need troops to fight when you can get Mother Nature to do it for you. But you see, there's more to it than just that. So you also got to think about the chemicals that are being pumped into the ground. Those chemicals are hurting the water flowing into Americans' homes. So if you can't drink from the water coming out of your tap anymore, you have to buy bottled water. And so the fracking funds the bottled water industry, and it also funds the Illuminati. Because we all know the Illuminati is heavily tied in with the bottled water industry. Why wouldn't it be? Contaminate lots of water each year, from ash spills to oil spills. Water's getting contaminated. You need to buy more bottled water. We've known that for years. But what it also does is cause the water coming out of people's faucets to catch on fire. This is one such homeowner.
I can often hold a standard kitchen match to my water, and sometimes it will light quite spectacularly. Just like that.
So you hear about the water catching on fire coming out of the faucet. That's another way that makes it easier for the United States to invade other countries, because all you have to do is turn on a fire hydrant and it becomes a flamethrower. So there you have it. Catching gas out of the air that you explode from the earth. It sounds cockamamie, because it is. Fracking is actually a government-controlled doomsday weather-controlling device. And it's being put on in our national parks. That's why there was the government shutdown in October 2013. That's why there's been more earthquakes. That's why the climate of this planet is acting all cuckoo. It's all being controlled by the United States government and fracking. You might hear me a little worked up in this next segment of the podcast, and that's because of Michelle Obama and what she's making children do and how she's splitting up families. Why is it personal? Here's a story. It was me. A few years ago, I was living my life in hiding. Couldn't leave the house. Was afraid the United States government would track me down, torture me for answers involving alien abduction. That of which you'll hear later in the podcast. But now, I've come out of hiding. Spent years living off of snake meat, lizards, termites, MREs. And as I got more confident, droppings out of the dumpsters of a TGI Fridays. But there was one thing that was keeping me looking forward to the future, and I finally decided to act on it. That's the Cici's Pizza $5 buffet, because I love their cinnamon rolls. Cinnamon rolls, dough, sugar, cinnamon, frosting, rolled up into a cinnamon roll. So I finally gathered the courage to go and get that $5 buffet, only so I could eat the cinnamon rolls. I get there, and there's no cinnamon rolls. So I ask, I say, hey, bro, guy, chief, manager, Cici's Pizza, where are the cinnamon rolls? And he said, no problem, we're baking up a fresh batch. Fresh batch of cinnamon rolls coming at ya. I'm excited. Then out of nowhere, I see a girl probably about 6 or 7 years old, weighing around 300 pounds. She comes up and waits for cinnamon rolls too. It's a little girl. I have to let her go first. I may have forgotten how to use public facilities at the time, but I haven't forgotten my manners while I was in hiding. So I let the little girl go. She took not one, not two, not three, but all of the cinnamon rolls. I got no cinnamon rolls that day because of childhood obesity. The one thing that had kept me vigilant during my time in hiding were those cinnamon rolls, and they were gone in a flash. So that's why I was excited when Michelle Obama decided to take on childhood obesity, much like Arnold Schwarzenegger, this guy. Let's play a clip, because we can.
So why don't we just say, hasta la vista to fatty bodies, and then if you're doing well with the exercise program, I'll be back, all right? Very good. Come on. You did well. Are you going to stay with the exercise program?
Yeah!
Then we can go home. Let's go.
So, First Lady Michelle Obama decides to rebrand the campaign, the Fitness Physical Education Program, by Arnold Schwarzenegger. In 2008, she introduces her own campaign called Let's Move. Here's a clip from that.
Let's Move is a nationwide initiative that basically focuses on four key components.
Component number one, orange juice. Component number two, manipulating statistics and changing the sizes of clothes but not changing what's on the label. Component number three, splitting apart families by use of professional sports. And number four, locking away children in hunger camps. I can explain to you and back up with fact components number two and three, still working on four, but here's the facts for two and three. First, this video of Michelle Obama caught me as suspect, so I looked at it again and realized she was delivering code as she was talking. You see, she would deliberately touch her hands together every time she said a word that was vital to the hidden information. So what I did was edit together all the sound bites and all the words that she mentions while she's deliberately touching her hands together, and within that, I found a secret message.
We have to eliminate families, and we need to do it now. And we're going to be relying a lot on major sports organizations to help us achieve that goal.
And of course, sports is splitting up families in more ways than one. Go to a Pee Wee football game. Look at the parents in the stands. They're not cheering on their own children because they're too busy yelling at referees and telling the coach to put my son in. He deserves the playing time. No, he doesn't. He's not any good because you don't practice with him. Why not? Because you're trying to pick up extra shifts for your job. Why? So you can actually afford to go to a sporting event. Have you noticed since her Let's Move campaign started back in 2008 that sporting event tickets have gone up dramatically? You have to refinance your home just to buy a beer at the venue? Sure, Dan, I would have loved to have finished college, but we had to go to that Cardinals season opener now, didn't we? So pro sports are driving apart families because they're putting them into financial ruin. And they're also just making them hate each other. I think. I was in band. But here's something that may have been overlooked, and this plays into component number two, manipulating statistics and manipulating the size of shirts and pants while not changing the size label. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention reports that childhood obesity has dropped by 43% in the past decade. Also in the decline in the past 10 years is the CDC doing thorough research. If you're a person who's willing to go on record and say there's less fat children in America, you clearly haven't been to a Cece's Pizza on a Friday night looking for cinnamon rolls. First Lady Michelle Obama is claiming that her work with younger children to eat healthier is what led to that decline. That now exposes her earlier efforts with the CDC to significantly raise the limits on what we consider obese. In 2001, I used to buy medium shirts. Today, I buy small shirts, but I've not changed in size. A 2014 small shirt is the same as a pre-9/11 medium shirt. The terrorists are winning. Not with bombs, but with diabetes and our skewed perception on who's fat and who's not. We'll finish up with the program in just a moment, but first I want to let you know about our friends at Tim's Laundry Service. If you're listening to this show, you know as well as I do that sooner or later the government will track you down, and when they do, they'll go through all of your documents and files and do whatever it takes to bring you to what they call justice. Available on an emergency basis, Tim's Laundry Service will show up outside your home. No one will suspect a thing because they'll see the truck and think you're just getting laundry service. What they'll actually do is cleanse you of any wrongdoing, burning documents, deleting files, taking care of family members who might give agents sensitive information. A 2013 study even concluded Tim's Laundry Service was the number one business in making arson look like an electrical fire. They truly are the best at what they do, and that's destroying evidence. So, when your freedom is on the line and you run the risk of being shipped to Guantanamo Bay, pick Tim's Laundry Service. To choose differently would be choosing death. Let's get back to the show. Now we're back on the Conspiracy Bunker. Going to finish up the origin story of me. Last episode is part one. This is going to be part two. If you have not heard part one, I recommend you go download our first episode. It's on iTunes. Check it out. So last time was a weatherman in North Carolina, Asheville to be precise. On a stormy night, I had to go up and check a weather sensor. I was abducted by aliens, taken to their planet, and then ended up on a United States government facility where I witnessed a government agent and an alien negotiating over what they thought was my unconscious body. I tried to come out to the public, and this is what happened.
This isn't easy. Last night, I was abducted by aliens. I saw so much. There's so much to tell you. Your government is working against you and working with the aliens. I flew through the... Hey, who are you?
I'm with the network.
I've never seen you before in my... Get your hands off of me!
It's best you not say any more.
You! I recognize that voice. It's you!
After I was dragged off the air, that very agent dragged me outside of the studio.
Get a good look at this, you moron, because it's the last you'll ever see of it.
Oh, forget you. The world needs to know we're in danger.
It's more complicated than just telling people. I spared you, you moron, and apparently that was a mistake. I don't make mistakes twice.
As if on cue, a cargo van drove up and two other agents emerged.
Sullivan, Walker.
Boss?
Boss.
Lock him in the van, go through his house, and categorize everything. Then drive him up to Washington, put him in the cell with the one. We clear on all the objectives?
Yes, sir. What about you?
I'm going to stay in town two more days and make sure no one else saw anything or told anything, starting with Mr. Anders' friend. Upon my return, we'll find out everything he knows using our methods. See you soon, Mr. Ander.
Okay, let's go.
Watch your head.
Hilarious
pun. Your wristwatch hit his head.
Oh, I was laughing because I knocked him out.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's funny too.
This time, I was unconscious. In the back of a van, about to be shipped off to Washington, D.C. Meanwhile, back at the studio, the following night, the government agent gave this statement.
Good evening. The following is a statement from the network's Division of Ethics. You can trust us. What you witnessed last night was a culmination of years of mental illness on the part of Mr. Ander. He's been lying to you. He's not the wholesome person you assumed he was. It is unfortunate. At this time, we've taken him to a wellness facility so that he may receive the treatment he both needs and deserves. Out of respect to Mr. Ander, we ask that you not look into the situation any further, and that you do not, for any reason, attempt to contact Mr. Ander. Asheville is a wonderful town, and it is our hope that in this post-9/11 world you can continue to be great Americans. Thank you, and may God continue to keep our nation the best in the world.
You probably heard that on the last episode, but what happened now was that Macklin would get off the air. I'm miles away, being hidden, and the agent goes to talk to my anchor friend, Dana.
Hello, Dana Sharp. I'm Bert Macklin. As part of my duty as ethics overseer at this network, I have to ask you about Mr. Ander. Did he say anything to you about an experience last night?
Nothing more than what I heard him say on the air. He seemed off from the minute he walked in. He was smoking, which I don't think he does. And he was glaring at everyone from his corner. He was suspicious of everyone, which is odd because normally he's smiling at everyone. He's saying, hey, he's lifting everyone's spirits.
He's a crazy person. You'd have to be crazy to always be upbeat and positive.
All right, well, that's my friend you're talking about, so...
I'm sorry. Look, your friend is going to get the help he needs.
Wait, did something happen to him?
You listen to me. Nothing happened. This is a nice, calm town. Nothing happens to anyone here. You guys have a good thing here, and we're going to make sure Mr. Ender has it good, too. Don't try to contact him, though. Ever.
Ever?
Ever. It's tough, I know. Look, you're a beautiful woman. Smart. You read words very well on camera.
Thanks.
Look, I'm in town the next couple of nights, and then I'm shipping to another market to handle the situation. Here's my card with my room number on it. Feel free to stop by and-
Seriously? You're trying to pick me up?
No, you didn't let me finish. If you want to stop by and tell me more about anything Mr. Ender may have told you or anyone else.
Sure.
Good night, Dana Sharp.
Hey, what is this situation you have to handle in this other market?
Goat nipples.
There's something unethical about goat nipples?
There's one thing I've learned about my time in Kandahar. It's that goat nipples feed terrorists.
Why would a network ethics suit like you need to be in Kandahar?
Good night, Miss Sharp.
Now, we had stayed in town an extra day while the agents went through my stuff in my home. But now, after this speech that government doofus gave, I was finally in the back of a van, conscious this time, on my way to Washington, D.C. to suffer from God knows what. And this is the conversation that happened to take place in the front of the van.
What's the deal with these Waffle House signs? Why are these places everywhere?
Because Waffle House is great.
Just waffles?
Don't tell me you've never been to Waffle House.
I can neither confirm nor deny I've been to
Waffle House. Oh my God, you've never been to Waffle House. Pull over. We're going right now.
Sullivan's lack of southern worldliness would work in my favor. Not only did we stop at Waffle House, I was allowed to go inside. And I used it to my advantage.
Look at this menu. Guaranteed to fill you up and kill a hangover for under $5.
This is really going to wreak havoc on my vegan-fed animal diet.
You get a lot of strange people going into Waffle House. And because of that, there are kidnap victims, people that need to be rescued. So there's what we call a secret menu. But you're not ordering food. It sounds like you're ordering food, but what you're actually doing is ordering some sort of help or assistance to help you escape your captors.
Okay, fellas, what you want to eat?
Hash browns, covered and topped with a waffle.
Raisin toast, with grits, steak, orange juice, and hash browns. Scattered.
Yes, I'll have the Alexander Graham Bell special. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Graham Bell special. I make good one of those. Y'all food coming right out.
What I just ordered or asked for was a telephone for me to make a phone call and a meal full of laxatives for Agents Sullivan and Walker across the table to provide as a distraction while I make my phone call. All I had to do was sit back, wait, smell some farts. They got their food and...
Move. I need to go to the bathroom. Discharge is imminent.
Copy that. I need to go too.
There's only one bathroom.
Fine. Well, the man with the lower rank gets the sink.
We're the same rank, and I've been in the department longer.
Fine. I don't even care. This is happening now.
With Sullivan and Walker in the bathroom, I was free to call Dana, and that I did. Dana, it's me.
Alex, what the hell is going on?
Dana, you've got to believe me. What I said on the air the other night, that story, it's true. Okay, I had a failed weather sensor. I went up there to check it out, and I swear to you,
that I was abducted by aliens, okay? And I saw this agent while I was being abducted. The government really is working with the aliens, and now they want to wipe out the fact that I know about it. I know it, okay? This is about survival for me at this point. I really need to stop these guys, and if you're up for it, Dana, I could really use your help on this.
Gladly. That agent Macklin interviewed me and then tried to pick me up.
Macklin! That son of a bitch! Look, Dana, if he makes it back to Washington, he'll have me killed.
Oh my God. What can I do?
You're the most trusted journalist this side of the Smokies. We gotta use the audience's trust in you somehow.
I'll just rat him out.
No, don't do that. No, it's not that easy. If you go on the air and tell everybody that he's a government agent looking for aliens, they'll think you're crazy too, and then you'll probably end up the same place as me. No. We do have to use that audience. Okay, I think I've got it. Turn the audience against Macklin. Get that whole town to rally together and do our dirty work for us. You have to bend the truth a little bit, but Danny, you're a good journalist. You'll make something up. They're coming back. I have to go. Bye. With my phone call complete and the agent's shitting complete, we were off to Washington.
Get in there.
Enjoy your stay.
Good one. Because that's where he's going to be staying.
Yeah, that's spot on.
I sensed that I was not alone in that cold, concrete, dark room. Hello? The sonar bouncing off the walls confirmed my suspicion. There was an alien in the corner. And in his eyes, I saw trust. He reached out his hand. I reached back, and the moment we made contact, the room went bright white. It was an information download. He taught me through contact everything that he knows, including his own language. So now I was equipped with knowledge. He told me about how he's been treated there, about how there's only 8 people that work at that facility, and they enter the room, all 8 of them, every single day. And that was the way to make our escape. Meanwhile, back in Asheville, Dana Sharp took the airwaves to turn an entire town against government agent Macklin.
Last night, someone from the Division of Ethics was giving a speech on Alexander. This man is not with the network. He's a government official here to investigate illegal moonshine operations. This man, who is staying at the Rocky Top Motel, room 204, wants to eradicate the moonshine business that has brought plenty of intoxicated Sunday afternoons and tax-free income to our region for years. If you have any information that could end one of these moonshine operations, it's a good idea to visit this man at Rocky Top Motel, room 204.
About the time that Dana was able to air that, I was being shown propaganda film in our cell. Stuff the alien had seen before. Looked like great propaganda, stuff that I enjoyed, especially when I was younger, wanted to serve our country. And the alien that was with me, he does have a name, but you can't comprehend it because you don't speak their language. He pointed out all the subliminal messaging that was in this propaganda. A lot of this subliminal messaging I will reveal to you in the coming episodes of the Conspiracy Bunker, so stay tuned. But I'm going to finish this story. See, people in the Smoky Mountains don't like it when someone threatens their moonshine. Here's what happened that night at the Rocky Top Motel. On the door of room 204.
What?
You that government agent I heard was in town?
Maybe. What do you want?
Well, I hear you're looking for information. And I got some for you.
I am? What do you have?
Oh, you'll see what I have, but you're going to have to get in the truck. We got to go for a ride. You see, I'm more of a show and tell kind of guy. While Macklin was being forced to climb into a truck and drive up into the mountains in the middle of the night, we were having some visitors in our cell. And I remembered what the alien said to me earlier about the staff coming in to probe him, so I counted as they walked into the door. 2, 3, 4,
5, 6, 7. That's 8. And when their attention was on the alien, I made a move for it.
Wait, where's Ander?
The door!
It is in your best interest to open this door.
You just blew any chance you have of living.
The entire cell had controls for it. Temperature controls, pressurization controls. Now, I'm a meteorologist, so what do you think I did? At first, I turned all of the gauges up. I turned the temperature up. I turned the pressure up. And then I made the pressure drastically drop, and I made the temperature drastically drop. And what did I say in the last episode happens when those atmosphere conditions exist? Thunderstorm. Lightning struck them all. The flood got them all except for the alien. So I waited it out, and when the coast was clear, I opened the door, the water rushed out, so did the alien. And we made a break for the spaceship he said was right down the hall. Meanwhile, down in the Smokies. Well, here it is.
Here is what? Fucking what?
Say goodnight, suit. Macklin was dead, even though we didn't know it at the time. We rushed down the hallway. We found the UFO, the spaceship that had brought that alien there to begin with, but he was too weak to drive, so I jumped behind the wheel, just in time for the reinforcements to arrive and unleash a hail of gunfire. It didn't matter. We flew out the roof and we were up in space in no time. To get back to the planet, I navigated by landmarks that I memorized from my first journey to this planet. We arrived to a ticker tape parade of sorts. It was the return of a hero and the birth of another one. The entire planet gathered and watched their king proclaim us heroes. May we forever be grateful to Mr. Ambrose. He brings home a hero, and with that he becomes one. From this day forward, consider him one of our own. For Mr. Alexander will have diplomatic immunity and be considered a citizen of this, the greatest planet in the universe. All hail Kachok Kachok, 2-for-1 special on Man Cream Cones. And with that, I was brought back to Earth. But I wasn't brought back home. They knew the government would be after me. And on the way back, they explained that I have to give you, the people listening to this broadcast, the truth. I have to reveal all of the secrets because their society is based on open knowledge. And that is why they live peacefully. They're peaceful. We are not. My goal is to bring us a peaceful society through truth. You know, when people talk about alien abductions, they say you're either an abductee or a contactee. An abductee is someone who has a negative experience after having an encounter with aliens. Contactee is someone that has a positive experience with aliens. So am I an abductee or a contactee? I'm neither. You heard the man. I'm an alien. An alien with diplomatic immunity and a desire to bring you the truth. Thanks for tuning in to another installment of The Conspiracy Bunker. I want to thank you. If you haven't yet, subscribe to the podcast. If you have any updates, any leads on some stories, you can email us at theconspiracybunker@gmail.com. Thanks for all your input. I want to thank the following people for writing in an email. We got John in New Jersey. Says he's catching a chupacabra up there. Pictures or it didn't happen, buddy. And also, on the other side of the country,
downtown Portland. Bigfoot. He's been spotted. So is he out there? Well, there's one thing for certain. The truth is. So in the meantime, don't be a citizen. Stay vigilant. And we'll see you next time on another installment of The Conspiracy Bunker.